Okay, thank you, young people. Take your Bible now, please, and go to John chapter 18, if you will. John chapter 18. I had the honor of speaking to these teenagers this morning down in Morgantown, and you have a wonderful group of young people here in your church, and I thank the Lord for them. You grandparents ought to have a big heart tonight to see your grandchildren, and you moms and dads, you have a big head tonight, you ought to. The city's young men and young ladies dressed so neatly and singing a song for the glory of the Lord. That's wonderful. Thank you, young people. I want to bring a message tonight on searching for the truth. You know why? Because before God saved me, as a young man, I was searching for truth. I really was. But you know what? I'm not the only one. There are a lot of people, really, who are searching. We find a man in the Bible one day that asked a very heart-rending question. In a moment, I want to read it to you. Would you turn to John chapter 18, please? John chapter 18. And I want to read two verses to you. Would you look at verse 37, John 18. And would you look at verse 37 and verse 38. I want you to see what this man asked Jesus Christ. Okay? In John chapter 18, 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. The question this man asked to Jesus Christ, he said, What is truth? And tonight, we are going to address and answer that question from the Bible of what is truth. So if you are searching for truth, you can know what it is, okay? Let's bow our heads and pray, and then I'll bring the message, please. Our dear Father, we thank you tonight for those who've come to your house. And Lord, may the word of God be preached with clarity. And may the blessed truth of the word of God help someone see what your truth really is. We ask in Christ's name, amen. In John chapter 18, as this man was searching for truth and asked this heart-rending question, what is truth? You've got to realize, if you want to find truth, there has to be a foundation for truth. What is the foundation for spiritual truth? Well, the answer are the scriptures. You see, the Word of God tells us, in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration in the Greek language is the word theopneustos, that literally means God breathed, which means the Bible is God's word. It came from God, not from man. Jeremiah 1:9 says, Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I put my words in thy mouth. 2 Samuel 23:2 says, The Spirit of God spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Exodus 32:16 says, And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God. Which means the scriptures came from the very person of God himself. And since that's so, congregation, this means this book is completely trustworthy. John 17:17 says, Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Bible says in John 5:39, Search the scriptures. From them you seek for me, and it testifies of me. And so this is God's truth. You want to know what the foundation of truth is? It's the Word of God. But second of all, I want you to see the focus of truth. What does truth focus on? Does truth ever focus upon a denomination? No. Does it ever focus upon a baptism? Oh, no. Does it focus on a mass or catechism or confirmations? Oh, no. You see, the focus of truth is always upon one person, and that's God's Son. John 1:17 says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." You see, truth will always focus upon a person, God's truth, Jesus Christ. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You see, the focus of truth is always on a person, God's Son. Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved." Look, sir, the answer for your life is Christ and Christ alone. And lady, your answer for your life is not a religion, being a good person. No, it's through God's Son, Jesus Christ. And so the focus of truth will always point you to God's Son. You see, he's the one that God promised. In Isaiah 7:14, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." The word Emmanuel literally means God with us. How was God with us? Through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:9, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." In John 10:30, Christ said, "I and my Father are one." Colossians 1:15 says of Christ, "Who is the image of the invisible God." In other words, look at me. Jesus Christ was the visible expression of the invisible God. And my friend, this is the focus of truth, God's Son, Jesus Christ. But then third of all, I want to show you the force of truth. You see, the foundation of truth are the Scriptures. The focus of truth is on the Savior, Jesus Christ. But the force of truth always will bring salvation. You hear me? The force of truth will always bring salvation. When you recognize that Christ died on the cross for your sins. And by the way, we have all kinds of religions today. And they say, you've got to do this. And when you die, you'll be okay. I was in India preaching over there, about died in India. I ate rice and hot curry for 3 weeks in a row. For breakfast, for lunch, and for supper. And I about died on that stuff. But you know, in India, they worship 3 million different gods. Well, there's a branch of the Indian language called the Hindu branch, the Brahm branch. And what they do, the men, wherever they walk, they got a broom. And they're sweeping every step they take. Why? Because if they step on an insect and kill that insect, that may be a grandmother. Now, you may laugh at this. It's not a laughing matter to them. That may be a loved one, and they will never kill an insect. They also will not kill the cow. If this Bible represents the land space of America, cut it in half. Put 2 billion people and 2 billion cattle in half of the land space of America, and you get an idea of the density of the population. You know what? They worship the cow. And they'll not kill the cow. Because that could be an ancestor. They believe in reincarnation. You know what, congregation? Tonight, there are a lot of sincere people who are worshiping stones. I was in Kenya, Africa, 2 years ago. Are you aware in Africa, there are people who worship idols made out of stone and made out of wood? And they're sincere individuals. But you know what? They've never recognized the force of one man, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is the only one that can forgive sin, man of sin. And by the way, the only one that can save you from your sin, lady or gentleman, is through a person, God's Son, Jesus Christ. And you got to realize that. Why did he die on the cross? Why was he crucified on the cross 2,000 years ago? Are you aware, in the Old Testament, they killed animal after animal for 4,000 years, took the blood from the animal, put it on the altar for one reason, to cover man's sins. But one day, God would end the sacrifice of animals. They usually sacrificed lambs. But John the Baptist looked at Christ one day and said in John 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Notice John the Baptist called Christ the Lamb of God. Have you ever wondered why he called Christ the Lamb of God? And here's the answer. Christ will be the final lamb. He would end the sacrificial system of the Old Testament by dying on the cross and shedding his blood for the sins for the entire world. And when Christ died on the cross, he literally shed his blood. John 19:34, "But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood." And my friend, you look at me, that blood was shed for your sins and shed for my sins. Romans chapter 5, verse 9, "Therefore be justified," that means declared righteous, "by his blood. We should be saved from wrath through him." And tonight, you got to realize the force of salvation is Christ can save you and give you this free gift. You can't pay for a gift. I had an interesting thing happen just a couple years ago. A young boy named Noah was in my meeting. And he wanted to talk with me. Just a brilliant young boy, 10, 11 years of age. And so they said, "Now Noah wants to talk with you." This boy was a brilliant young boy. And so I took Noah in the side room and I began to talk with Noah about the Lord, because he wanted to know how Christ can save him. He wanted to know how we could have his sins forgiven, when he died one day he could go to heaven. And so I took the word of God and I began to show him a verse in Romans 6:23, which says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, I said, "Noah, I want you to think." I said, "Now, it says the gift of God." I said, "Noah, can you pay for a gift?" He said, "Oh, no, sir, you cannot pay for a gift." I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, if you pay for a gift, then you destroyed it being a gift." Now, I tell you what, that boy had a lot of sense, didn't he? I mean, we're talking a kid. I said, "Well, now look, Noah." He said, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I said, "Now, Noah, think. If God wants to give you a free gift that you can't pay for, and that gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I said, "Well, Noah, what do you have to do?" I'll never forget this. That little boy's eyes just lit up. He said, "I guess all I've got to do, sir, is I've got to accept it, huh?" Oh, the innocency of a child. How they take things so literally. "Oh, not you adults. Oh, you're too smart. Oh, you got to reason all these things out. You don't just take things for granted, like it states in the Bible. I got a grandson. I have some cute little grandsons. Matter of fact, I got 6 blocks of salt and 3 lumps of sugar, okay? And anyhow, one of my little boys, his name is Reed, okay, Reed. And his father was teaching him how to hit a ball off of the post, you know. And so, and he was swinging and missing the ball. And my son Scott said, "Now, Reed, what you've got to do, you've got to keep your eye on the ball." My little grandson, here's the ball right here on the stick. You know what he does? He walks up to the stick with his ball bat and he goes like this. He put his eyeball on the ball. You know why? Because his dad said, "You've got to keep your eye on the ball." Children take things literally. I would to God you adults would believe God. Romans 10:9, "That if thou, you, shalt confess with thy mouth, who? The Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." You got to ask him. And Christ would save you. He said, "Jerry, you make it so simple." Thank God it is simple. Abraham Lincoln said, "God must have loved the simple man. He made so many of us." That's the truth, isn't it? You know, my dad only had a 6th grade education. When I spoke to my dad always said, "Boy, look me right in the eyes." I looked Dad right in the eyes. And Dad said, "Get out quick, boy." And I got out quick. You know why I preach short? Because of my dad. I guess my dad scared me to death. "Get out quick, boy. I want to tell you something. You need to realize something. God puts down his truth so simple that a child can receive it." You know what? I'm grateful the force of salvation is so powerful. I didn't know one Bible verse on how God saved me. But I tell you what I did. I literally put my spiritual eye on the truth of God's word. And I did what God told me to do. I called upon his son to save me. And he saved me. When I got saved, I'll never forget what Pastor Rutherford said. Well, he said, "Well, how do you feel now, Jerry?" You know something, congregation? I did not feel any certain way. I said, "I don't feel any certain way. Am I supposed to?" He said, "No, but are you saved?" I said, "Yeah, I'm saved." You know why I was saved? Because I did what the Bible told me to do, and that is the force of salvation. And my friend, how we'd love to save you. You know what? You may be a good hard worker. You may be a good supporter for your family. And that's wonderful. But I'm telling you right now, where you spend eternity depends on what you do with God's truth. And I'm grateful tonight you can come to him. He'll save you. Let's bow our heads and pray, please.